We've been excited about Brother T.D. Burgess coming back to be with us. He tries to come every other year, and he's been with me every other year ever since I've been in the ministry. This year, I believe, or this past year, 2014, Brother T.D. Burgess celebrated 70 years of preaching the gospel. Make welcome Evangelist T.D. Burgess from Chattanooga, Tennessee, as he comes to preach to us. Amen. Praise the Lord.
God bless you. I love you too, Ben. God bless you. Bless you, Ben. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. At my age, I'm glad to be anywhere. Praise the Lord. I'm 84 and feel like I'm 40. But anyway, I'm honored to be here today and to be Brother Billy and Miss Regina. And I always, every year when I come, your pastor gets saved again. So he's going to get sanctified this year. And I know you got a lot going, so I'm not going to preach very long this morning. But I want you to be here. Do you know why? That you cannot be married to two women. You know why? Anybody know why? Because the Bible says no man can serve two masters. I'd like for somebody to give me some water. This fellow said that, he said, I have not talked to my wife in about 3 days. Said she doesn't like to be disturbed while she talks. Okay, that's enough of that. The Lord's been good, and I praise the Lord. This one fella was talking about his upcoming 50th wedding anniversary. And the guy said, wow, you're about 50 years? That's right. He talked about it, and then he said, oh, by the way, what did you do on your 25th anniversary? He said, well, I bought my wife a new diamond ring. I bought her a new mink coat and a new automobile, and I took her to Greece. He said, wow, what are you going to do for your 50th anniversary? He said, I'm going back and get her. So, praise the Lord. It's been a good year. God's been good to us. And I'd like to, this morning, give you three simple things. And I want you to be in the meeting. Do you realize revivals are dying out across the country because Christian people won't go? A lot of churches are shutting down on Sunday night because church members won't come. But the Bible says, go more as you see that day approaching. If you don't believe we're in the last days, then, brother, you're blind, because we are. And it's just getting better all the time. The Lord is coming, and I praise the Lord for that. And let's look here in chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. And we begin reading here in verse number 8. And there were at the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Thank you. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds, which I want to deal with this morning, the Bible said, let us now go into Bethlehem and see the thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made unknown to us. And the Bible said, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which it was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. I want to preach this morning on after the angels are gone away. I know now Christmas has come. Your decorations probably down, the Christmas tree and all that is down. And there's been such a hustle and bustle about the malls, about the Lord. I mean, about getting gifts and this, that, and the other. And but we have Christmas every day of the year because Christmas is about Jesus Christ. Let me give you three things and we'll be out of here. But the way I feel, I'd stay till 2 o'clock. I was a kidding, but anyway, right here in the Word of God, we find about the shepherd three things. There's a Savior to be praised. After the angels are gone away, there are three things I want to give you. First of all, the Bible talked about a Savior to be praised. There's a story to be proclaimed, and then there's a service to be rendered. Now we're talking about Jesus. I want to ask you a question. Be honest with me. I want you to be honest with yourself. How many of you helped one person to Christ this past year? Raise your hand. How many of you helped one person? About 10, 8 or 10, helped somebody to Jesus. Why haven't you? You see, we've got a story to tell. Oh, we talk about Christmas. You watch Christmas when it comes on Sunday and half the house is to be empty because it's not about really Jesus. It's about our own personal needs. We talk about it, but here are the angels there. There's a person to be praised, first of all, for who he is. The Bible says he's wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And it begins to talk in the Word of God exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ, he's our deliverer. There's a Savior to be praised. Let me ask another question. How many of you have talked to somebody? When you leave church, how many of you talk about Jesus to somebody? I was in a restaurant in North Carolina, a Cracker Barrel, and there was a precious black lady taking me over to the table, and I whispered in her ear. I said, well, close to her, I said, ma'am, are you a Christian? And she looked at me, and she said, I am in the fog. I said, what? She said, yeah, full of God. I'm talking about memory, and I tell black folks that, and they have a spell. I've never heard that before. So get full of God, and then you begin to witness what the Lord's done for you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And the reason we're not seeing more people get saved is because people say, I don't know what to tell them. Well, if you got saved, tell them how you got saved. Tell them it's simple. I mean, it's so simple. And to kind of slough it off, the Bible said he talked about it. And not only what he's done in his person, who he is, but he is also in the past. Think what God did for you in the past. Remember the day you got saved? Remember that morning, that night, or that hour when the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart? He saved me. And not only that, he's protected you. Now, I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you know what that word lucky means? I said, what are you talking about? She said, that's a devil's word to keep God from getting the credit. You're not lucky. You're here because of the providence of God Almighty. You're here because God has protected you. You're here, and hey, it's because of him that you are here. And these folks that think Friday the 13th is he's unlucky, baloney. There's nothing to that. You're here because God brought you here. And how dumb it is to think you're going to have bad luck if a black cat gets across in your path. I was down in Alabama years ago in this store, and across the street, and there's a little hill, and we're standing there, and a bunch of flowers and bushes out there, and all of a sudden I hear tires are squalling. And smoke was coming from the tires from skidding down through there. And in a few, and I look, and here goes a little black cat. And whoever was in that car backed up and went the other way. Now I was on a cruise and I was talking about that, and a lady came up to me after I got through preaching. She said, would you have hit my black cat? I said, bam. What I'm trying to say is. Those things, hey, you're not here because God has brought you here. God is letting you live, not just to live, but we are to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the present. What's he doing for us now? He is leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm trying to get people to realize that God is here in the church. I mean, you got a great church and a wonderful pastor, and God's given you a good man of God and preach the word of God. But, hey, he's here, but when you leave, he's still with you. He still goes with you. He lives on the inside of every person. In fact, right today, at the right hand of God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ is making intercession for you. Woo! Hey, I'm talking about he's praying for you. He's praying for you. You cannot listen. He lives on the inside of you. Let me illustrate something to you. When you get up on Sunday morning, say, "Good morning, Jesus." Boy, this is Sunday. But I've been really thinking about going to the races today. Our family reunion today. You know, our families get together. Or where do I need to go? Where am I supposed to go today? Where do you want me to go? If you're to get anything but church, you've got the wrong Jesus. The Bible says you're to be here. To be anywhere else on Sunday is sin. Because he said, if you love me, it's the house of God. Why is it we're so troubled about being faithful to church? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're going to love God enough and want to see revival enough to come to revival in a few days. What I'm trying to say is he lives inside of you. If you're born again and he just is real as your skin on your hand, walking in the presence of God. The angels here, they're talking about that. And listen, we got big prospects too. You're talking about here, you and I, we're going to somewhere. We're going, maybe today the trump of God will sound. Whew. Maybe today the Lord will come. And then we're going to meet our Lord in heaven, and we'll be there with him forever. The angels of the Lord came, and there's a Savior to be praised. Don't go. I hate to get around some people. They're always down. "Well, you just don't have the trouble I do." I said, "How you know you don't? I don't have trouble like you do. I just don't tell them about it." What I'm trying to say, the Lord is here in your heart. But Jesus could come today and glory. I've had people come up and say, "That scares me." Scares you to go to be with Jesus? No. Hey, a lady came up to me, Pastor, and over in Eden, and this fine lady, and she said to me, "Preacher, why am I afraid to die?" I said, "Let me illustrate to you something. Dr. Seitler told me years ago, or preaching when he preached rather, and he said he's in an airplane, and the pilots thought it's going to crash. The weather was so bad, and the stewardess said, "Get ready, we're going to crash." And he said, "I got down, went inside, and I said, 'Lord, why was I afraid to die?'" And he said, that little still small voice said, "You wasn't going to die. But when you die, that fear won't be there." There's a Savior to be praised. Pull out your gripes. Pull out your grumbles. "Well, didn't get anything out of church today." That's your fault. You know why? The Lord said, "Where two or three are met together in my name, that shall I be in the midst of them." Every time you come to this great church, he's here. Sometimes he manifests himself with rejoicing and praising God and wonderful. And sometimes you come and the songs are good, but the Lord is here. Recognize the presence of God. I've been telling people like this. You may be here at 12 o'clock, but your mind's already eating that Cracker Barrel. How many times your mind wanders while you're in the house of God? What I'm trying to say, give total concentration. God's got something for you. These angels here, after Jesus has gone, the angels have gone away. These disciples had to praise him. Praise him. Get on your job. Don't criticize people. Praise the Lord for his goodness. You say, but preacher, the bottom fell out. I mean, man in the life, the bottom. But have you read the Bible? Oh, in Deuteronomy, he said, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are his everlasting arms. And that word underneath means below bottom. Hallelujah. Here he is. We got a Savior to be praised. I want to ask you this question. How many of you came believing God's going to do something for you today? How many come believing, God, I need something? I've been through a rough week. There's sickness and death and cancer and heart problems and all the other things. Why are we going to? Hallelujah. You got somebody that says, I'm here with you, and underneath are his everlasting arms. Not only that, there's a story to be proclaimed. I asked people in meetings, how many of you talk to somebody about Jesus every day? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. Do you talk to somebody about Jesus every day? Notice what they did here in verse 16 and 20. Notice their experience. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Can you imagine seeing the Son of God? Great day in the morning. A little babe. God became a little baby. Not Santa Claus. He came as a little baby. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about Jesus. If you don't get a present, why? Hey, the greatest present was when Jesus came down. We talk about, hey, boy, it's Christmas and we're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But you don't even go to the house of God during that time. You don't pray. You don't thank God. Notice what he did. They made haste. They saw, hey, we're saved. How many of you know that you're saved? You had the greatest experience in your life was that day of that moment. I got saved July the 4th, 1943. And some of those old people said to me, son, you'll get over it. But, oh, it's better today than it was then. Y'all understand that? Hey, I wish sometime you could stand up here and look and see if you get blessed. I'm just talking about we've had an experience. We have received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And those shepherds saw the darling Son of God as a little baby. Hallelujah. Hey, notice their expression. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. They did what? They made known abroad, we have seen him. We have seen him. How many of you did you know it's a sin for you to not tell others about Jesus Christ? If you've been born again, and the reason, are you hearing me? The reason is they begin to tell everybody. I want everybody to know that I'm a child of God. I want everybody to know that. On your job or in your neighborhood or whatever. I was in a meeting in over in Radford, Virginia, 3 or 4 years ago. And a man in the prayer room, he said, my son-in-law is coming. And they got a little girl, baby girl, and said, he's lost. And said, I want you to pray and get saved tonight. Well, the service went on, and I finished preaching. And I could tell he was under conviction. He was on the left side. And they came from the nursery as I was giving the invitation. By the way, most important part of a service is when you give an invitation. And I'm sure it's an emergency. Stay and pray that God, the Holy Ghost, will move in the hearts of people. But anyway, they came in and whispered in her ear. Evidently, the little baby needed attention. When he did, he followed her out. The next night in the prayer room, I said, your son-in-law coming back tonight? He said, no. I said, he's not. I said, he's under conviction last night. He said, listen to this, church. He said, I saw a lot of people that go down there. They wasn't there. And he said, why should a sinner go when church people don't go? We are to be an example. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. I know where I live.
We know everybody down through there, where they're lost or backslidden or whatever. I mean, you maybe God put you in your community where you are to evangelize those people for the Lord. I like the early church. They Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We got a living Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. The Bible said to me right here, look in verse number 20. I like this. Notice their excitement. And the shepherd returned. Woo! Well, say, preacher, I'm not emotional. They were glorifying God. I went to a meeting one night, Pastor, and God really moved. The guy with me was walking out to the car. And he said, boy, I almost shouted in there tonight. I said, well, help yourself. He said, whoop. Well, I'm just not emotional. I was in the motel years ago. And I can listen to have the radio on. I can watch, have television on. And I can tune it out. That's the way I do my wife. But I was in the motel. And the day before Fox News. And I'd been watching the early morning news. And then I started reading. And in a little bit, I said, I heard someone, ah! I thought, what in the world? And all Bob Barker said was, come on down. That's it. I just haven't gotten over the thrill that he loved me enough to die for me. It's a story. The excitement. Remember that song, Go Tell It on the Mountain? Oh, yeah. What's this little simple story, really? Little baby story. Hey, I got two great grandsons, and I got the third one on the way. Hey, they all look like Papa. They're bald headed. No, what I'm saying, it's a little story about a little baby. They were all excited about the Messiah. The Savior has come, and they're here telling it about it. In fact, it's a very stirring story. When I get to thinking about when Al got saved, it still stirs me. Well, I got saved. I've had so many things going wrong. Hey, friend, if you live in this world, there's a lot of things goes on, but don't let anybody stop you from having that close personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I wonder sometimes we don't share Jesus. Will those people's blood, your neighbor's blood, be required at your hand at the judgment seat of Christ? And you could have helped them to Jesus, but you were so... I mean, you're so stuck on yourself, you got saved and forget everybody else. Let the redeemed, again, I repeat, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you've been redeemed, tell people about it. And tell them every day about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? In traveling and going to restaurants, and my wife and I were coming up, and boy, she wanted to come real bad, Brother Billy, but she got that back problems and riding and stuff. But anyway, we stopped this place up in Knoxville. And right at the end of dinner time, a lot of those businesses have Tennessee students. So this young man came into wait on us. And I was friendly to him, talking to him and trying to be nice to him, because I know... A lot of people give them hassle. They take the order, they turn it in, and it may not come back. But they get on to the waiter for doing that. And you know what a lot of people tell me? The worst people to wait on are church people. They gripe more. They tip less. I said, they just do what they do at church. And I was friendly with this kid. Came over, got her water. And I was kidding him. And been friendly to him, and when he brought our salad or whatever we got first, and he said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I knew it. You're the first person today that's been good to me." I said, "That's why I want you to know I'm a Christian. And I want you to know that." And he came back, Brother Billy, and had my main meal. And he said, "Can I ask you another question?" I said, "Certainly." He said, "Are you a preacher too?" And what really ticked him off, I think I tipped him off, was I ordered chicken. Did I ever tell y'all my chicken poem, Brother Billy? Huh? I've eaten chicken young, I've eaten chicken old, I've eaten chicken hot, I've eaten chicken cold. And when I'm dead and in my grave, no more chicken will I crave. But on my grave marker, please note that 10,000 chickens went down my throat. Then he walked over to me and he said, "My dad is a preacher. Church of God preacher." I said, "Wonderful." And then he said, "Thank you for being so nice to me. Our witness for Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, let your light shine for Jesus Christ." I got to hurry right here. Whew. Thirdly, there's a service to perform. Look in verse 20. "And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God." Do you leave church praising God for all the things that he had heard and seen and was told to them? They had to witness about it. Don't tell me, I don't know what. Hey, your life is a witness. What would happen here in this church if everybody began to tell about the goodness of God and how good God's been to you, how he redeemed you from your sins? But we don't have witnesses. I was over in Southwest Virginia, and the pastor would pick me up, and he started a new work over there. And I mean, I was at a Holiday Inn, and I was going down the hallway one night, and his black family, and man, his wife, they're all dressed up. And I said, "Wow, y'all look nice tonight." I said, "I'm a preacher. I'm going up to the pier." And he said, "Oh, I'm a preacher." And I said, "Well, God bless you." And I had a little spot in my windshield, and it began to crack, and I had to call Bluefield and get them to come down. So I was witnessing to these two boys that come to put the window in, and I said, "Are you a Christian?" He said, "No." And he said, "I am." I said, "You are?" He said, "Yeah, I'm a Jehovah Witness." That motel was full of Jehovah Witnesses coming down to evangelize the Bible area. You couldn't get Baptists to knock on a door, but false religions will. You're failing your Lamb of God. You're failing as a Christian if you're not a witness for Jesus Christ. And people will die lost because we didn't care enough to share Jesus with them. We must worship. Many people go to church, they don't worship. They're there, but you didn't worship. You mentioned that a while ago. You come. I enjoyed the choir, the man singing. I enjoyed giving. But we come and it's all about Jesus Christ. Again, you got a wonderful pastor, but he'll tell you it's not about him. It's about Jesus. This church is about, there'd be no, he didn't die for buildings, but there'd be no beautiful building like this had it not been for Jesus. It's a lighthouse. That's where Jesus people meet. That's where they come. But didn't come back tonight and see if they love God enough to do that. Come, let's see if they really on fire enough if it come revival and get a burden for somebody lost. They had to witness. They got to work, not play. Hey, God's not interested in your golfing score, your bowling score, how many fish you caught. God's not interested in that. God has not given the church as a showboat, but a lifeboat to rescue the poor, lost men, women without Jesus Christ. It's a saving story. It's a beautiful saving story. The Lamb of God came to seek and to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. This little boy, young boy, 9, 10 years old. His daddy said to him, son, don't you go back down to that church anymore. If you do, I'm going to whip you. He wouldn't go every Sunday. Finally, his daddy was lost. But one Sunday morning, that kid got out of bed, got dressed, and went to church. His dad came in at the end of the service looking for him. In the meantime, the young boy came down, and he received Christ. And when his dad come down, he said, too late, Dad, I've been saved. Amen. That's what it's all about. Getting people saved. A friend of mine, Al Goss, told me he's retired now, health reasons, and miles straight up toward Dayton. And he said this young boy got saved on the bus ministry. And the mother, when he went home, said, Mama, I got saved. She said, son, you're not old enough to get saved. He said, I don't care. I got saved again anyhow. You got to tell it convincingly. When a sinner comes to church and he sees you doing this and looking around and looking up, you got to convince folks what you got's real. Tell it convincingly. Hell's hot. Heaven's sweet. But you tell it compassionately. I find that the average Christian don't have a brokenness to win the lost. Every average person, if somebody gets saved, Sunday, fine. If they don't, fine. But we got to do it compassionately. We got to do it continually. And we got to do it every day. It's all about Jesus, a little baby. God become flesh in a form of a little baby. Lived here upon the earth. Died on a cross, but hallelujah, they buried him. But on the third day, whoa, he got up. He got up. Resurrected that you and I could have life. I haven't gotten over it, Brother Billy. That he loved me enough to die for me. Wounded for my transgression. Bruised for my iniquity. And then you have to beg you to serve God. There's something missing somewhere. There's something missing. Hallelujah. He's alive. I read Isaiah 53. He did it for me. Woo! He did it for you. This building is about Jesus. Sunday services is about Jesus. Hallelujah. Continually. Woo! Brother Billy, you won't have to come give a taste. I want you to listen. Let God do something for you today. Hey, Christmas is over. But it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. If you never meet with your family, it's not. It's about Jesus. It's about the Lamb of God who gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. I want you to stand while Brother Billy's coming. While your heads are bowed, your pastor's coming. I want you to let God. I want you to stop a minute. What one thing have you accomplished for Jesus this past year? Oh, you came to church, but what have you done for him? What have you done for him? While your pastor comes, come on, Brother Billy.
While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, just a few minutes, Brad, to sing. First of all, if you're saved this morning, I believe God spoke to your heart. Our responsibility to share that story continually, to keep on, and to share the truth of what Christ did for you and what he'll do for anybody. A while ago when Brother T.D. asked us how many was able to lead somebody to the Lord last year, You say, well, that's a personal question. Well, you'll have to answer it personally at the judgment seat. And in the presence of your friends and family here, if that's an awkward question, I wonder how it'll be when you stand before the God of all this universe with all the saints of all the ages at the judgment seat. If our heart's not stirred, we need revival. And I tell you, I know we need revival. He said if you'd call on him, he'd answer you. And I want you to, this morning, if you know Christ, to slip around this altar. Ask God to use you in 2015 to lead somebody to Christ. Pray for personal revival. Pray for this church revival. Pray for national revival. If you're not saved this morning, Jesus loved you and he died for you. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, I sure would love to pray for you. And if you're here and you say, preacher, if I died right now, I don't know, I'd go to heaven. Maybe a member, maybe a guest. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I don't want to pray with you right now. And you say, pastor, if I died right now, I do not know I'd go to heaven. And preacher, will you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up across this congregation and say, preacher, pray for me. If I died right now, I don't know I'd go to heaven, but I sure wish you'd pray for me. Are you here like that this morning in the building? Somebody here this morning like that? I'm looking, raise it up right back down. Anybody? Now, folk, we need revival. Now, I'm asking you, let's plead with God. We've been praying. And I ask you this morning, if your heart's not stirred and excited about what Brother T.D. preached this morning, we need a fresh touch from heaven. And I invite you to come. We're not going to give a long invitation, so you come. As Brother Brad sings, dear Lord Jesus, speak now to hearts. Help them to do what they'll be glad for all eternity that they've done. And we'll thank you. While we have our heads bowed, eyes are closed. Brad will sing, you come. God spoke to your heart. Join these many around the altar already. Let's seek God for revival. If you're here and you're not saved, maybe you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be saved, we can help you. We want to do it. God bless you as you come. God bless you as you come. You come on right now. Many have prayed and working their way back, but you come to the altar, this room here around this altar for you. You come on right now. Let's believe God. Let's ask God to send real revival. Oh, God, send revival.